we may turn and consider, as the Lord will enable us, words you will find in the chapter of God's Word read, the Gospel according to Luke, chapter 13, and we may read again from verse 6. He spake also this parable. A certain man had a fig tree planted in his vineyard, and he came and sought fruit thereon, and found none. Then said he unto the dresser of his vineyard, Behold, these 3 years I come seeking fruit on this fig tree, and find none. Cut it down. Why cumbereth it the ground? He answering said unto him, Lord, let it alone this year also, till I shall dig about it and dung it. And if it bear fruit, well, and if not, then after that thou shalt cut it down. We are told that the Savior at this time was teaching in one of the synagogues on the Sabbath. And as he was often his wont, he spake in parables to the people, bringing before them things in the natural realm, which had an application in the spiritual realm. For we need to be taught concerning the things of the kingdom of God. Never was there such a teacher upon the face of the earth as the one who at this time was speaking in the synagogue to the people that assembled there. What a blessed privilege they had to hear the word of God from the lips of the divine Redeemer. And what a solemn obligation that put them to give heed to the words that were spoken, seeing these things came forth from the lips of one who cannot lie. What solemn words the Savior had to say on so many occasions to those whom he was addressing, warning them of the dangers that lay ahead if they continued in the way of sin and of unbelief. No doubt these things had their application in a special way to the generation of that time, and in particular to the Jews in whose synagogues he spake these words and gave these solemn warnings. When he declared to them, as we see in the earlier part of this chapter, that the Galileans, whose blood Pilate mingled with their sacrifices, were not sinners above other Galileans, because they suffered such things, the Savior had to say, I tell you nay, but except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. We are to say the same thing concerning the 18 upon whom the tower in Siloam fell. They were not the sinners above all men that dwelt in Jerusalem. He said, I tell you nay, but except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. He goes on here to speak this solemn parable concerning the man that had a fig tree planted in his vineyard. who saw the fruit on that fig tree and found none, he came near 3 years seeking a fruit on it, and he found none. Because there was no fruit, he gave sentence against that fig tree, saying to the dresser of his vineyard, "Cut it down, why cumbereth it the ground?" The dresser of the vineyard interceded for it, "Lord, let it alone this year also, till I shall dig about it and dung it. And if it bear fruit, well, and if not, then after that thou shalt cut it down." These things, no doubt, had their application to the Jewish nation in its unbelief and in its hardness of heart, notwithstanding the privileges they enjoyed and the blessings that were bestowed upon them. But it has its application to the Church of God in every age of time. Those who are within the Church of God, in this matter of bringing forth the fruit to God's glory, how necessary that is, that we should bring forth the fruit to the glory of God in the light of all the privileges that we enjoy, in the light of all the labor that has been spent upon with regard to the setting before us the things of the kingdom of God. How solemn if the Savior has to say concerning us in the light of our spiritual condition, our low condition, our fruitless condition, "Cut it down, why cumbereth it the ground?" What a mercy if intercession is made that the sentence be delayed, in order that this might appear, whether when some more labor is spent upon us, that we should bring forth fruit to the glory of God. We may notice then, first of all, the privileges belonging to this fig tree. Then, secondly, we would go on to notice the sentence that was declared against it by the Lord of the vineyard. That was, "Cut it down, why cumbereth it the ground?" Last of all, we may go on to notice the stay of execution of that sentence on the intercession of the dresser of the vineyard, pleading with the Lord of the vineyard that he would let it alone this year also, so that he might dig about it and dung it, and then a sentence would be executed according to whether or not it had brought forth fruit in that additional year. We may notice then, first of all, the privileges enjoyed by this fig tree. We are told a certain man had a fig tree planted in his vineyard. It was planted in a place where it ought to have brought forth fruit. Was in a place that was dug and prepared Apprecia query it ought to have brought forth a fruit for the mastery of the vineyard. Labor had been spent upon it. No doubt the dresser of the vineyard had already been digging about it and dunging it in order that it might bring forth fruit. And it had brought forth no fruit. It was then planted where the master of the vineyard might expect some reward for the labor that had been spent upon this fig tree. When we apply this to the Jewish nation, what labor had been spent upon the Jewish nation, what privileges they had enjoyed, privileges above all the nations that were under heaven. The Lord had chosen this nation for himself to be a people who would show forth his glory. He raised up this people and bestowed upon privileges that were denied to other nations. They had his word in their midst, the scriptures of the Old Testament. They had the worship of God. They had the temple in Jerusalem. They had the synagogues where the scriptures were read on the Sabbath day. They had all the ordinances of God. The Lord dealt in this way very graciously with his people. He set them apart as a nation for himself. And he required of them that they would honor him and serve him, that they would be a people who would show forth his praise. But when the Savior came into this world, when he came to his own received him not. The Jewish nation, and in particular the leaders of the Jewish nation at this time, were rejectors of the Christ of God. Though they had the word of God, they were blinded to the revelation that was given to them there of the divine Redeemer, or did not recognize in Jesus of Nazareth the fulfillment of the promises of that Old Testament revelation. They ought to have brought forth fruit in this way, in embracing Jesus Christ when he came into this world to seek and to save that which was lost. They ought, had they received the word of God in the love of it, they ought to have been found then waiting for his coming, looking for his coming, so that when he would appear that they would receive him and give to him the honor and the glory that was due unto his name. How long the Lord had been dealing mercifully and graciously with his people. Yet when the time came that he would appear in this world, they were found in a very low spiritual state and without bearing fruit that would be to his glory and which he would accept. We find also in connection with this people that they had at this time the Savior in their midst. Throughout his public ministry in this world, which he lasted about 3.5 years, when he went about doing good, when he was preaching in the synagogues and in the streets, making known the things of God, declaring the wonders of divine grace and love and mercy, and that to our sin-lost world, declaring it to the Jews first, for he said to the Syrophoenician woman, I am not sent but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel. It was then the Savior speaking to this generation. He was speaking to them throughout that public ministry that he exercised in this world. When men heard the words of life, when they heard one speak who spake as never man speak, these words fell on their ears, and yet they were unaffected by these things. The Lord was spending all this labor upon them, yet the fruit of it was unbelief and hardness of heart and rebellion against God. No fruit unto his glory, no fruit of repentance, no fruit of faith, no fruit of love. These things did not appear in the lives of those whom the Savior was here addressing. Behold, these 3 years I come seeking fruit on this fig tree and find none. How solemn a matter this is. Far dealing with a people in this way, and yet this is the only response that they reject and despise the divine Savior, the Lord from heaven. We know that the one who is here speaking to them was the mediator of the everlasting covenant, the mediator who was to exercise these great offices of prophet, priest, and king to his church. And he was here as the prophet of the church, declaring unto men the will of God for their salvation. And instead of letting that word, the word of the great prophet of the church, sink down into their hearts, instead of embracing the declaration of the truth, they cast that word aside, did not receive that word, did not own the one who was declaring these things to be the sent of the Father and the Prince of Life. Behold, these 3 years I come seeking fruit on this fig tree. Find none, cut it down. Why cumbereth it the ground? God declares this in his judgment. You are the failure to bring forth any fruit. That fig tree is not to be allowed to stand any longer. But let us apply this also to the Jews in this way. The There was to be yet a little extension of the time that they were still to be left there before the sentence would be carried out. For the Savior was to be 3.5 years in this world before he was taken away from them, so that the Jews were to have a little while yet, when the word of God would sound in their ears, when they would hear the voice of the great prophet of the church. We are to apply this to ourselves, to the church of God in every age of time. What privileges, what blessings we enjoy. That is, those who are born and brought up in the visible church of God, what unspeakable blessings they have where the word of God is declared in its truth and in its fullness and in its simplicity also. The revelation of the grace and mercy and love of God to sinners in Jesus Christ, even to as many as believe on His name. Those who have been brought up under the sound of the glorious gospel of the blessed God, they have not been brought up in a wilderness, but they have been planted as this fig tree was in a vineyard, in a place that was suitable for the tree to take root and to bring up and to spring up bearing fruit. So it is with all who have been brought up within the visible church of God, and particularly where the gospel of God's grace is, where the word of God is found. These are unspeakable blessings. These are privileges which multitudes do not know anything of. How many throughout the world do not possess the privileges that we enjoy? How many do not hear the gospel of Jesus Christ? How many have never heard the name of the divine Redeemer, the Savior of men? How many have never read the word of truth? Yet, so far as we are concerned, we have had the word of God even from our infancy brought before. The truths of God's word, these words that are spirit and life, brought before our minds and our hearts, and impressed upon our minds and upon our hearts, in order that the word might take hold of our minds and hearts, and that it would find a lodging place in our hearts. And we have had the gospel of God's grace proclaimed to us, the good news of salvation to poor, needy, lost sinners. And we are a poor, needy, lost sinner. And what we need is the salvation that is in this Christ. We have been called in the gospel of God's grace to repentance and to faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, what effect has there been from all these blessings and these privileges which we have enjoyed? We have enjoyed the ordinances of God's hand, enjoying the privilege of baptism, baptized in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. These the privileges are ours, and if we have not partaken of, we have seen the ordinance of the Lord's Supper, in which Christ is set forth so plainly. Yet what a fruit is there of all this in our lives and in our hearts? The dresser of the vineyard, the Lord of the vineyard came and sought fruit on this fig tree and found none. What fruit is there to be found in us after all that we have heard of the Word of God, after all that we have known of the Gospel of Jesus Christ, after all that we have been partakers of the blessings of God's Word and ordinance? Where is there fruit that would be to God's glory? Where is that which should appear in our lives? When God views us from heaven, His throne, and from His sanctuary, what does He see in us? What does He find in our lives? Does He look upon us and see us as the Lord of the vineyard saw the fig tree planted in His vineyard, bearing no fruit? This barren fig tree, how many is this true, even under the glorious gospel of God's grace, that this is a picture of their state and condition, notwithstanding all the labor that has been spent upon? This is their estate as the barren fig tree. No God glorifying fruit, either in their hearts or in their lives. We have to ask ourselves, what fruit is there in us? Are we but barren fig trees in the Master's vineyard? Are we amongst those upon whom the Lord in His love and in His kindness has bestowed much labor, sending His servants to declare unto us the truth of the gospel, the truth of His own word? We have heard these things from His servants, and yet we have brought forth no fruit to God's glory. What a lamentable state for a soul to be in after many years. Not only coming 3 years to seek fruit, but the Lord coming many years to seek fruit on us, yet there is none. Do we recognize in the barren fig tree a picture of our own spiritual state, barren and fruitful, though planted in such a blessed place as in the vineyard of the Lord? Let us go on to notice then the sentence that the Master of the vineyard pronounced on this barren fruit tree. He said, "Cut it down. Why cumbereth it the ground?" Why should this barren fig tree in my vineyard be left here any longer? seeing that it is just cumbering the ground, using up that part of my vineyard where another tree might be planted that would bring forth fruit. Therefore, cut that barren fig tree down. Why cumbereth it the ground? What a solemn sentence with regard to the Jewish nation. Nation as a people possessing so many privileges and blessings. When the Lord found no fruit, His glory upon many of those that formed that nation. So His sentence was cut it down. Why cumbereth it the ground? Why should it occupy this place any longer? It had a high and privileged place, denied to all other nations. Why should it continue in that place? When the others, if they would be planted in that ground, would bring forth fruit. That in reference to the Gentile nations who were to come into that place, that the Jews occupied. And the sentence now was cut it down. Why cumbereth it the ground? Here was a nation and they were not bringing forth the fruits of the privileges that they enjoyed. Therefore, the sentence of the Lord was cut it down. Spend no more labor on this guilty nation. Spend no more labor on this sin defiled, this unbelieving nation. This nation rejecting the Messiah, rejecting the sent of the Father. Not only was it so, but their mind towards this one who had come was one of enmity and hatred to Jesus Christ. That through the power of sin and evil in their heart, they were rejectors and despisers of the Christ of God. And yet in the very midst of blessing, in the very midst of privileges, which if they had used these privileges and blessings aright, would have brought forth fruit in them to the glory of God. When we apply this to ourselves and to the visible church of God in the world, to ourselves as a people, upon whom the Lord has bestowed many privileges and blessings, surely the sentence against us must be the same. By the Lord of the vineyard, cut it down, why cumbereth it the ground? Why should this sinner, this hardened sinner, this rebellious sinner, this sinner that is not profiting from the gospel, this sinner that is hardening under the very privileges and blessings that ought to melt the hardest heart, let this sinner be cut down in his or her sins. Let this sinner be cut off forever. Let that sinner lie eternally under the wrath and curse of Jehovah. Cut it down, why cumbereth it the ground? Why be left any longer in the midst of these privileges and blessings? I left enjoying any longer the day of grace, the day of mercy. How long, poor sinners, enjoy the day of grace and the day of mercy, and yet do not make the use of that day of grace and mercy which they are to make of it. That is, to seek earnestly and diligently the salvation of their never-dying soul. What a message for a soul in this world. Hear the voice of the Lord saying with respect to themselves as a barren fig tree. Cut it down. Why cumbereth it the ground? How solemn, how weighty that would be to us. Were we alive to our danger, in our sin and in our unbelief, knowing not when the sentence shall be passed upon us, cut it down, for it but cumbers the ground. Why cumbereth it the ground? Why leave it any longer after so long a time? These 3 years I come seeking fruit on this fig tree and find none. Much labor has been spent upon, but there is no evidence of any fruit. Poor sinners in their folly think that the day of mercy is to go on, that the day of grace is to go on, that sometime, somehow, they will benefit from these things, but not now. Rejecting all the overtures of mercy, all the revelation that God is giving in His Word of Himself, as a sin-pardoning God in Jesus Christ, the poor sinner in the darkness of his or her mind, still going on in sin, still going on in the hardness of their heart. Hear the sentence of the Lord of the vineyard was that this fig tree should be cut down. The time was now come when the fig tree would be cut down and no doubt burned with fire, seeing that it was a useless fig tree and a barren fig tree. How solemn this, where it actually has taken place. A man or a woman, a boy or a girl, within the visible church, enjoying the privileges and blessings of such a place, where the Word of God is proclaimed in their hearing, where the blessings of God's house are enjoyed, that is all continuing in unbelief, in hardness of heart, without any sign of repentance and turning from sin unto God, then the sentence to go forth, cut it down. Why cumbereth it the ground? It is very evident that when a sinner is awakened to a sense of sin and guilt and depravity, that his soul is afraid of this, that before they obtain deliverance from their sins, that the sentence of eternal death will be passed against them,
And that they shall go down to an undone eternity. Father, the awakened soul finds itself on the brink of a lost eternity, ready to perish, ready to be cut down. And what could they say if the Lord of the vineyard would say, cut it down? If God in his anger, in his wrath, would say, cast the sinner off into everlasting destruction. Why cumbereth it the ground? The awakened soul would have no ground of appeal against that sentence. For their own conscience testifies then that they deserve eternal death. That if God would cast them away forever, they would receive but the just desert of their sin. Cut it down, why cumbereth it the ground? What a need there is then for poor sinners yet in their sins to lay to heart that this sentence may at any time be passed upon their own soul and their own passion. Cut it down, why cumbereth it the ground? That would mean for that soul the end of the day of grace, the end of the day of mercy, the end of the enjoyment of the favors of God, in connection with outward favors and blessings. That soul will never enjoy any favor again, will never know what it is to go to the house of God, will never know what it is to hear the call of God in His Word, and that in mercy to a lost soul. That will be shut in to everlasting wrath and destruction as their portion forever. Here we have brought before us in this parable an intercession made for a stay of execution of this sentence. The dresser of the vineyard, who had no doubt spent much labor already on this fig tree, desired yet a little season, in the hope that in that little farther season fruit would appear and the fig tree would not be cut down. Lord, let it alone this year also, till I shall dig about it and dung it, and if it bear fruit well, and if not, then after that thou shalt cut it down. What of the Jewish nation, the stay of execution for a little time, while the Savior was yet in the world, to declare to them still for a little season the things of God? What fruit did it bring forth in them? What a turning was there in them from sin and from evil and from unbelief and from hardness of heart? Rather than be melted under a sense of the mercy and love of God, through renewed opportunities of hearing the voice of the Divine Redeemer speaking in their ears, they only hardened their hearts, they closed their ears to the hearing of the truth. They would not have this man to reign over them. Even when Pontius Pilate gave them the opportunity to have the Savior in their midst for a season yet, when he presented to them the alternatives that they could have Jesus released or Barabbas, they cried out, not this man, but Barabbas. To have the Savior in their midst for a season yet. When he presented to them the alternatives that they could have, Jesus released or Barabbas. They cried out, not this man, but Barabbas. Now Barabbas was a robber. They chose the robber to cry. So it is with poor sinners who go on in their sins. And the robber that poor sinners choose is surely the devil, whom they choose in preference to crime, to serve Satan a little longer, to live a godless life a little longer. What had the Jews to say concerning Jesus of Nazareth? What will I do with Jesus, which is called Christ? He put it to themselves, away with him, away with him. Crucify him, crucify him. That was the voice of the multitude of the Jews at that time, cutting themselves off from mercy and from hope. Such is the darkness of the minds of poor sinners, held in the grip of unbelief and impenitence. The time, though it was for a little while, only brought them to harden their heart in their sin. So far as the Jews as a nation were concerned, though it is true of some of them, that on the day of Pentecost, part of the gospel was to be preached first to the Jews, there were those of them to whom the day of mercy was a day of blessing indeed, when they received the glorious gospel of the blessed God. Far as most of them were concerned, they rejected their Messiah, their Savior, their Redeemer. They chose a robber to him who was the Prince of Life. We are told of them, had they known, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. But in their blindness and in that hardness of heart, they put to death the Holy Lamb of God. We may apply these things to ourselves then. And in this plea for a stay of execution of the sentence by the dresser of the vineyard, we see here the long suffering of the Lord, bearing with a people who have long gone on in sin, long gone on in rejection of the gospel. The Lord, yet bearing with them for a little season yet, extending as it were a little time for repentance, and a time for faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, how the soul at the brink of the eternal world, how they would desire even one moment more in time, if only that moment in time would mean the deliverance for them from eternal death. And how long the Lord has borne with us and is still bearing with us, though we are cumberers of the ground. And if the Lord leaves us yet a little season on the face of the earth, and it can only be a little season at the longest, what fruit will we bear to his glory in that little season that is left? Lord, let it alone this year also, till I shall dig about it and dung it. If the gospel that has been preached to us over so many years of our lives here in this world, if it is continued to us for a little time yet, will it have any different effect upon our souls from what it has had hitherto? What fruit will it bring forth in our lives of repentance and of faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and of love to Him? If it bear fruit well, the stay in execution is to this end to see whether there shall be any fruit. Otherwise it must be cut down. It is not, this fig tree is not to be left in the vineyard always. The mind of the master of the vineyard is that it will be left a little season longer, but then it must be cut down if there is no fruit in this fig tree. So it must be with us also. We do not profit from all the labor that has been spent upon us. If we do not profit in the midst of so many privileges and blessings, in the very midst of the Church of God in the world, having the glorious gospel of the blessed God sent before us, sentence must ultimately go forth, cut it down. Why cumbereth it the ground? How is it then with your own soul? What mind and spirit are you of with regard to this matter? What anxious concern have you in your soul lest the day of mercy should pass, lest death should come when you little expect it? If you should enter the eternal world in a Christless state, does that weigh heavily upon your mind and heart? And are you earnestly seeking the way of salvation through Jesus Christ? Are you seeking the Lord Jesus Christ in the gospel of His grace? Are you seeking Him at the throne of grace? Are you crying at His footstool of mercy for mercy? Are you making use of the privileges and blessings that you enjoy so that your soul may be delivered from the wrath to come, and that you may be put in possession of that life that is in Jesus Christ, and that you may be an heir of eternal glory? Warning is given to us. The time is short. Soon the day of mercy will be past. If we continue in unbelief, if we continue in penitence, if we continue in the hardness of our heart, let us lay these things to heart. Let us, in the due use of the means of God's appointment, seek salvation for our never-dying soul. Let us seek shelter under the blood of the everlasting covenant. Let us seek a hiding place in Jesus Christ for our never-dying soul. May the Lord add His blessing. Let us pray. O God, do Thou bless to us Thine own holy word and the solemn warnings of Thy word. Leave not any of us to go on hardening in sin, but do Thou bring us in Thy mercy to repentance and to faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, that we might obtain salvation through His name and heirship of everlasting glory. Bless us each one out of the riches of Thy grace. Bless us as families apart, from the youngest to the oldest, enriching us out of the fullness that is in the divine Redeemer. Take us each one upon thy care and upon thy keep. Wash away our sins. For Jesus' sake, amen. We may sing in conclusion in Psalm 45. Psalm 45 at verse 10. O daughter, hearken and regard, and do thine ear incline. Likewise forget thy father's house, and people that are thine. Then of the king desired shall be thy beauty vehemently, because he is thy Lord. Do thou him worship reverently. The daughter there of Tyre shall be, with gifts and offerings great. Those of the people that are rich, thy favor shall entreat. These three verses from verse 10, O daughter, hearken and regard.
O daughter, hearken
and regard, and do thy Lord willing, on Thursday evening at 7:30, and the service is next Sabbath, the Lord willing, at 11:00 and at 6:30. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Ghost be with you all. Amen.